Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman. Thank you for listening to AFR. On Wednesdays, Ed Battagliano is usually here to help co-host, and he is today. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Fred Jackson is also here. Good morning, Fred.
Good to be here.
Abraham Hamilton III will be with us at the bottom of the hour. Abe is our constitutional attorney and host of the Hamilton Corner each afternoon here on American Family Radio. So we got a lot to talk to Abe about at the bottom of the hour. Let me just say that you can join us if you'd like to live video stream the show today. Go to YouTube or Facebook and just type in Today's Issues. And we also post the stories that we talk about on our Facebook page. You can engage and interact with. Have you said hello to everybody on Facebook yet, Brent, for us? You are going to? Other listeners are there on our Facebook page for Today's Issues. Also, the AFR, we have a lot of people listen to the podcast on AFR.net. Just sign up for the podcast. You'll get it every day, AFR.net. That's growing and growing every day. Then, of course, the American Family Radio app on your cell phone, your tablet, similar devices. You can download the AFR app and listen to American Family Radio anywhere in the world that has high-speed internet. So thousands and thousands of people now are taking advantage of our app. Fred, what are we going to be talking to Abe about?
Well, two big Supreme Court decisions this morning.
We got some good news, right?
It is good news.
Good news.
It's almost shocking news, yes. Given the Supreme Court decisions we've been talking about so far. But decision number one this morning has to do with going back to Obamacare and the bid to force even religious-based organizations, hospitals, schools, etc., to provide at no cost contraceptives to their employees.
That includes abortifacients.
Abortifacients, exactly.
Pills you take which induce an abortion.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
The Supreme Court this morning in a 7-2 decision. That's the second shocking part of this. Yeah. So
somebody drugged a couple liberals.
Some of the liberals had to vote with
this. They
needed
drug testing.
What the Supreme Court said basically is that employers who cite religious or moral objections can opt out of providing no-cost birth control to their female employees. Decision written by Justice Clarence Thomas. He said, "We hold today that the departments had the statutory authority to craft that exemption, as well as the contemporaneously issued moral exemption. We further hold that the rules promulgating these exemptions are free from procedural defects." That's a lot of legalese in there. But basically what Justice Thomas is saying is that religious-based organizations do have a right to impose in the way they operate their religious beliefs. Now, that may sound very basic to us, but that has been challenged on several fronts by various groups. Today, the Supreme Court saying, yes, these religious-based hospitals, schools, whatever the case may be.
This is a big deal. This is a big deal. We're going to talk to Abe about it, but praise God.
Yes.
We got something to be happy about, Ed.
That's right, and the fact that it was a 7-2 ruling is kind of shocking. I'm looking at the story and cannot find who voted in favor, you know, who's included in the seven, but we'll find that out, and I'm just interested in, as you said, Tim, which two liberals must have been.
Ginsburg was one of them.
Ginsburg was one?
Ginsburg was one of the two.
Okay.
Yes. I'm not sure who the other one was. Second Supreme Court decision out this morning. Supreme Court sides with Catholic schools in employment suit. There are similarities in the thinking, in the two decisions.
What was the score there?
7-2. Not sure what the breakdown there. But basically, a Supreme Court siding with two Catholic schools in a ruling that underscores that certain employees of religious schools, hospitals, social service centers, can't sue for employment discrimination. And this, again, had the right of religious-based schools, hospitals, whatever the case to be, to say to an employee, we no longer want to employ you. There have been several different cases of this that have been challenged in the courts.
Listen, this is common sense and it's constitutional sense. If you're going to work for an organization, either a church, for example,
mm-hmm.
or a parachurch group like mm-hmm. ours,
yes.
or any number of thousands and thousands of groups around the country that are religiously based, and that's their mission, that's their charter. If you're going to live a lifestyle that's inconsistent with the teaching of the Bible, for example, the organization should have a right to dismiss you without being sued. That's what they're saying right there.
Yeah, this decision was written by Justice Samuel Alito in the majority opinion that allowing courts to consider workplace discrimination claims against the schools would interfere with the school's constitutionally guaranteed religious independence. He went on to say, the religious education and formation of students is the very reason for the existence of most private religious schools, and therefore the selection and supervision of the teachers upon whom the schools rely to do this work lie at the core of their mission.
Hey, amen, brother or sister, whoever wrote that.
That was Alito, right?
Brother. Amen, brother.
Oh, okay. All right. I do want to make clear that the ruling's not as broad as we might have hoped. This was at issue was a question about whether or not someone who at a school taught religion has to be an official minister. That was the charge, was that these people were not ministers, they were not clergy members, so they could not have an exemption. And what the ruling is saying is that if an employee of a school teaches religion along with secular subjects, then they can be required to hold to the teachings of the church that heads the school. So this is not...
It's not like I described it then.
Well, it's not a ruling that says that just because you work at a school, you can be fired for being gay or lesbian or having sex outside marriage or anything like that. This was... Now, we'll defer to Abe. My understanding of this is... This is with regards to people.
It's a specific question, not necessarily, as you say, as broad as I described it, perhaps.
Yes.
We'll ask Abe.
I don't. I pretend like I do. Nobody believes it anymore, especially my kids. But it is a good ruling, though. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. All right. So we'd like to talk to Abraham Hamilton III about coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
We look forward to that. Should you like to send us an email, positive and encouraging.
Only. That's all
only.
We take.
That's all we take. We want K-Love emails. Positive and encouraging. Send us at comments@AFR.net. Comments@AFR.net. All right, Fred, what else you got?
Fox's Tucker Carlson, ever controversial. I think the highlight of his show each night is editorials. He has gone on the attack against Democrats. That won't shock anybody. But he says Democrats hate America. Now, of course, some Democrats, including Joe Biden, are objecting to that. However, there were two separate news conferences yesterday by what I would describe as far leftist that seemed to go to the point that Tucker Carlson is making. Democrats hate America. In the first news conference, it was held in Detroit. It was a coalition known as the Movement for Black Lives. But the organization Black Lives Matter is highly involved with this group. All right. To that point, one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter, Patrice Cullors, C-U-L-L-O-R-S, was one of the people, principals, in this news conference yesterday. By the way, we need to remind people, she is a self-confessed Marxist.
Right.
So understand that.
A proud one.
A proud one.
She said, we're well-trained.
Yeah.
And well-versed in the ideology.
And this particular group also is backed by Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, which may have something to do why the news conference was held in Detroit, Michigan. All right. So in this bill, they are proposing a bill called the BREATHE Act. BREATHE Act. It would, among other things, it would target federal agencies such as the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, reduce the Department of Defense budget, basically open prison doors, just let everybody go.
No more life sentences.
No more life sentences. Abolish all mandatory minimum sentencing laws. Create a time-bound plan. Basically disarm police departments. Take away some of the equipment that they have. Numerous changes for parents and children, such as removing police and school resource officers from our schools. So that's just some of the things that this bill would require if they were to bring it about. The second event yesterday took place in Minnesota, where Minnesota Democrat Ilhan Omar, she called for the dismantling of America's, system of oppression. The word oppression is a word she really likes.
Right.
Anything she doesn't like constitutes oppression. She says, we can't stop at criminal justice reform or policing reform. We are not merely fighting to tear down the systems of oppression and the criminal justice system. We are fighting to tear down systems of oppression that exist in housing, education, healthcare, employment, and in the air we breathe. Here's a little bit of what she had to say yesterday. Cut number one.
Our economy and political systems prioritize profit. Without considering who is profiting, we will perpetuate this inequality. So we cannot stop at criminal justice system. We must begin the work of dismantling the whole system of oppression.
All right. So we have heard before. Let's go back to...
That's Colin Kaepernick all over again. I mean, that's what I quoted him saying yesterday on Independence Day.
Yes.
So these people...
But we go back to Barack Obama, want to fundamentally change the country and change the world. The agenda of the Democratic Party is exactly this. They want to tear down this country and fundamentally change it. We've talked before. People like Ilhan Omar and others, AOC, they want a socialist, they want a Marxist-style country. Now, as of coming into the studio 20 minutes ago, I did not see anything from Joe Biden or from any Democratic National Committee official denouncing what these individuals said at these two separate news conferences.
And you won't. You won't see it. And here's the problem. Now, we've talked about this, so our listeners are well aware of the difficulty. Here's the difficulty for the Democratic Party, is that there's probably a majority of traditional Democrats, certainly the establishment leadership of the Democratic Party, who would disagree with the specifics of what was proposed, who don't necessarily want Marxism or socialism, but they can't criticize. They can't criticize this group because that wing of the Democratic Party, they need that wing involved in the 2020 election, November election, or they're going to lose, and they're going to lose catastrophically in the Electoral College. They have to have these foot soldiers. Second of all, they can't criticize this because it would easily be turned around on them in this current cancel culture, and they would be accused of being racists. Okay,
come at if the establishment, like Joe Biden, publicly denounces
Ilhan Omar,
yeah,
and her ilk.
Yes, and this plan and proposal. If they were to denounce it, that they would then be explaining, no, we're not supporting racism, because the way this has been framed is, if you're against tearing down the systems of oppression, you're in favor of oppression.
Listen, I would rather have to defend what President Trump and the Republicans have to defend, and that is you're too pro-American. You're nationalist.
Yeah.
I would rather, that's supposed to be a bad word today.
Right.
I don't know where that, when that's supposed to be a bad word. I would rather have to defend that position than to defend the position that I want to dismantle America as we know it and turn it into a workman's paradise.
Right.
Which is what, that's what she just said. What she just said was, that's a Marxist crusade.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ilhan Omar. Mm-hmm. She didn't say Marxism. That's what she's, she and Bernie Sanders, remember Bernie Sanders?
Mm-hmm.
He's the same. Now, I don't think Bernie Sanders is as militant. This is my own personal opinion, so if you don't subscribe to it, please allow me space. Okay. I don't believe Bernie Sanders is, he's a curmudgeon, granted, right. But I don't think he's as militant as these people want to be, like Ilhan Omar and Tlaib and the AOC and those folks.
The squad.
They're coming after you. Mm-hmm. And with whatever means they need to use to revolutionize the system.
Well, there's two different types. Broadly speaking, it's very difficult, by the way, and I'm doing all the research I'm writing an article for the AFA Journal on socialism just because it's being thrown around so much. It's very difficult to actually define socialism or pick one particular view of socialism, but here is a kind of a quick reference way of understanding, broadly speaking, the two different types of socialists. There are evolutionary socialists like Bernie Sanders who want to take a slow process, let's pass some laws, let's make some changes, and there are revolutionary socialists, which is what we're dealing with, Omar and AOC and some of the
Black Lives Matter.
These want to overthrow what exists completely, and if they have to get violent, they will. Now, those are the two different types of socialist approaches.
They hate Western civilization, and if you want to look at it, again, on a large scale, they hate Western civilization because Western civilization represents the white Christian European colonialism mm-hmm. that has oppressed the world for how long?
Well, they'd say probably 500 years.
500 years or so. That's what Colin Kaepernick references this all the time. Mm-hmm. He subscribes to it. It's the so they want to the Black Lives Matter says they want to dismantle the family unit mm-hmm. because it's a Western ideal. Mm-hmm. So this movement is at war with our Judeo-Christian founding.
Yes.
All right. And Christianity. They're at heart, they're God haters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They may not say it exactly like that, although some of them do. They hate Christianity. They if these people could have their way, they would round all of us up.
Yes.
Yes.
Who believe in the Bible and mm-hmm. are Christians, mm-hmm. and they would put us in some kind of camps.
Well, and even the Bernie Sanders types.
Or kick us out of the country.
Like we call them the evolutionary socialists. You remember, I forget the person who was
right.
up for...
Russell Vought.
Russell Vought, that's right.
He Wheaton was, grad.
He
so
was.
Let me set this up for just a minute, because this is a very important teaching moment you're mm-hmm. about to give, just to refresh people's memory. Senator Bernie Sanders sat on a committee which had some of President Trump's candidates for positions in his administration come before the committee to get, an approval to hire them.
Senate
confirmation hearings.
Yep.
So this gentleman, what's his name?
Russell Vought.
Russell Vought was one of President Trump's appointees. He comes before this committee on which Senator Sanders sits. So Senator Sanders has a chance to ask him as a Q&A with the fella. Now.
Right. And he was questioned about his views on the exclusivity of Jesus Christ in terms of salvation.
By Sanders.
By Bernie Sanders. And Bernie Sanders, at the end of his, whatever it was, 5 minutes of questioning, told the sitting chairman of that committee this man does not represent what America's all about, because he believes in the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. Had nothing to do with Russell Vought's qualifications for the position. He just believed, Bernie Sanders believed, because he was a Bible-believing Christian, he did not he should not sit in the administration of someone who's friendly towards evangelicals.
Bernie Sanders was saying, you, sir, are disqualified from serving in government because you believe in a core principle of Christianity, that is the exclusivity of Jesus Christ.
Jesus is the only way of salvation.
Right.
He said, Bernie Sanders said, and this is on YouTube, folks, first time I saw this, it was absolutely chilling. You had a United States senator telling a born-again Christian, a graduate of Wheaton College, because you believe that Jesus is the only way of salvation, that makes you unfit for a federal government job.
Yeah, and this is Bernie Sanders, one of the top two candidates for president on the Democrat side.
Right, exactly.
So the point being, when we say these people are anti-Christian, they're God haters, they want to round us up and do terrible things, ultimately, to ruin our lives. By that, I mean Bible-believing Christians. We're not making this up. You can watch Bernie Sanders. He's flabbergasted that anybody could. And what's shocking to me is, here's Bernie Sanders. He's, 70-something years old. He acts like he's never known anybody that believes like this. And I'm thinking, whether it's Catholics or Protestants or Evangelicals or Pentecostals or whoever, anybody who goes under the banner of Christianity, one of the core beliefs is that Jesus Christ is the one and only Son of God and the only way you're getting to heaven.
Right.
And so for him to act like he's never heard of this before, and that that's troublesome and that problematic and disqualifying, the reason we're saying all this is to show you how these people think.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, this is how these people think. And these people make up a large part of the Democrat Party.
Absolutely. Yeah, Bernie Sanders is no moderate.
No, he's no moderate. I'm not trying to defend Bernie Sanders. He's just, I don't think he's quite as militant.
The point I'm making is he's a socialist. And whether their approach is more gradual, like Bernie Sanders, or more abrupt, like the revolutionary kind of socialists, socialist ideas are socialist ideas, one of which is we don't believe in God, because Karl Marx said religion is the opiate of the masses.
Yeah.
Okay, so however long it will take to get us from point A to point B for the socialist, point B involves the shutdown of religion.
Yes.
And Bernie Sanders proved that in this case with Russell Vought.
So if Joe Biden were to win, the former vice president, in November, he would have a large part of his administration, if not all of it, quite frankly, would be made up of these kind of thinkers.
Yes.
That we just described.
Yep.
That's what's scary.
Yes.
Right.
About this. And don't think they won't come after.
Yeah.
They'll come after conservatives in general and Christians.
Yeah.
And ministries
If they're willing to say what Bernie Sanders said at this point in his career, if he was to become president, imagine what would happen.
It would be something. They would probably come up with something saying, you sign this pledge where you say Jesus Christ is not the only way, then you can apply for a job here.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds 1984-ish, I know. But no, we're not too far from that if these people continue to grow in influence.
Right.
I guess you could say. Yeah. And more happy news on the way. Okay, you stay with us. We got recipes, gardening tips coming up.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Jan Markell of Understanding the Times Radio.
Scripture tells us there's coming a time that the closer we get to the end of the church age and the more relevant this topic becomes, the more people both inside and outside the church will frankly make fun of it.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
And my father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Wondering how you'll finish your degree now? At Liberty University, we want to help. So when you transfer into one of our more than 100 undergraduate online programs this fall, you could earn up to $3,600 in transfer student scholarships, or more if you live in Virginia. That means you can pay less than $900 per course and transfer in up to 75% of your degree. That's up to 90 credits. Save time and money at a school that's been helping students like you for over 30 years. Learn more by texting DEGREE to 49595. That's DEGREE to 49595.
The Colorado Attorney General has ordered a summer Bible camp to stop holding meetings. Attorney General Eric Kuhn sent a cease and desist letter to Andrew Womack Ministries. They had been holding a Bible conference at Sherris Bible College. The Attorney General said it was a matter of public safety, even though the ministry had taken a number of precautions. Ironically, the order came one day after Family Research Council President Tony Perkins addressed the conference. Liberty Counsel, a law firm that specializes in religious liberty cases, is representing the ministry. Matt Staver points out that the same Attorney General who wants to shut down large gatherings of Christians has been encouraging others to march in the streets in protest. Now, that's a double standard. Mr. Staver says the Attorney General is discriminating against Christians, and he rightly points out there is not a pandemic pause button built into the Constitution. You can read more about this story on my website, toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on AFR, American Family Radio. Hey, do us a favor and spread the word about AFR. We're having new listeners come on board daily across the country, having some people even listen internationally, but most of them are Americans who are living abroad. But we would love for you to help us advertise and promote. Just tell people about AFR and tell them what radio station you listen to and ask them to tune in. A lot of people share our beliefs in God and family and faith, but they're ignorant of what's going on in the country or how to do something about it. And so plug them in to American Family Radio, especially our app. I did that the other day with somebody who didn't get one of our radio stations, but they were a supporter of AFA, but they only were familiar with our magazine. So I said, hey, here's our radio app. And they were just like, thank you, thank you, thank you. When they finally tuned in, they were able to listen to AFR somewhere that didn't have one of our radio towers. All right. Well, again, we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Abraham Hamilton III is a constitutional attorney, and he's also a host of the Hamilton Corner each afternoon from 5 to 6 o'clock Central Time on American Family Radio. And more importantly, a Christian brother. How you doing, Abe?
Good morning. How are you?
Can I pat you on the back without violating social distancing?
No.
I can't.
Too late now.
I take the pat on the back. Fist pump. Okay. All right. Social distancing things. Just
violation.
We're all having to.
There's an old science fiction movie, Invasion of the Body Snatchers. I don't know if you ever watched it, and the 1978 remake of the 1950s original. It's actually from a book that I read in high school. None of that's important. Anyway, in the 1978 version, the people who had been replaced, but what happened when these pods would come down from space, they were like plants, and if they landed near somebody while the person was asleep, they would absorb that person and look just like them, but they had no soul.
It's happened to me.
It's happened
two times
before
in my life. Yeah.
The reason I
mention
it is because when they would spot somebody who was not one of these kind of alien things, they would open up their mouths and they would point, and there'd be this horrible kind of shriek that would come out, and all of them would start pointing at somebody who was. And to me, that's what this coronavirus thing is like. If you don't have a mask, or you touched me, or I keep expecting people to open up their mouths and point, and this horrible shrieking noise come out.
You know what I've
learned?
That
was a long way to go for.
Well, I got something else as important as what you just shared. I've learned to control the sneeze pretty well.
You have?
Yeah,
that's an extraordinary accomplishment.
You can do it. I'm going to write a book on this.
Controlling the sneeze.
Yeah, controlling the sneeze.
Corona control.
Well, I think in this climate, I think it could be a bestseller.
Because you're like me. When you sneeze, you blow the doors off.
Oh, yeah.
So you've controlled that?
Oh, yeah. My wife, when I sneezed one time, this is before people looked at you like, you had the plague.
B.C.
somewhere.
Before Corona, she said, I
sneezed somewhere in public, and a lady did look at me from about 20 feet away. And Allison, my wife, said, you need to go outside or something, because that you scare people with that.
It happens so abruptly.
How are you supposed to plan for it? Honey, excuse me, I'm going to go outside and
sneeze.
Take a sneeze. All right, so anyway, where was I?
Abe is sitting there going, I interrupted show prep.
It's okay. He's a lawyer. He gets paid by the hour. He didn't care. We can go on and on. He started charging us 10 minutes ago. Lawyer jokes coming Abe's way.
Yeah.
I was going to say something else very important, but evidently I've forgotten what it was.
We were talking about Bernie Sanders before.
Oh, yeah. Well, by the way, you can control your sneeze by not breathing for 30 seconds. I'm just saying, try it. If you're ever in that situation.
Not breathing for 30 seconds.
Well, 15 seconds. Just slow. Just shut off the intake.
Okay.
I don't know why I'm talking about this. I'm just trying to be helpful.
I know.
That's all I'm trying to do.
Life hacks are
important.
I'm trying
to help you from being banned from whatever place you're at, or club you're at, or group meeting you're at, when you're the one who has to sneeze. All right. Abe, we were talking earlier about the mindset of the Marxist and socialist groups and individuals that are becoming more prominent in our society right now, such as the organization Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, the organization I'm talking about, Ilhan Omar, the congresswoman, the Bernie Sanders, for example. And the fact that they are hostile to biblical Christianity. And they're hostile, in a general sense, to conservatism. But they certainly can't stand biblical Christianity because... And so we wanted to... And if it was up to them, they would get rid of us all in some way. And by get rid of, I don't know if I'm necessarily saying put us to death, but I'm saying cancel us from society and culture where you have zero influence, so you... Basically, become like the Amish. That's what they help for. So we wanted to play. I know you want to comment on these Supreme Court decisions.
Well, I don't have to.
Okay, but we wanted to play. Lest people think, oh, you're just exaggerating, or you are sensationalizing this, or you know, come on, these these people, they may be Democrats, but they don't believe like what you're saying. They just they're just good folks who want to exchange ideas. All right. Listen to this exchange. It's lengthy. It's 2 or 3 minutes, so it might, I don't know when we'll cut it off. But it's important as a teaching moment. And we played this when it happened, the day after it happened. Listen to this exchange from Bernie Sanders. Now, keep in mind, this fellow is very prominent in the Democrat Party. He was the number two guy for president. He only lost to Joe Biden because the Democrat establishment coalesced around him. Otherwise, he would have been the candidate. But listen to this. Go ahead, play it.
It bothered me and bothered many other people. And that is in the piece that I referred to that you wrote for a publication called Resurgent. You wrote, Muslim, quote, Muslims do not simply have a deficient theology. They do not know God because they have rejected Jesus Christ, his son, and they stand condemned. End of quote. Do you believe that that statement is Islamophobic?
Absolutely not, Senator. I'm a Christian, and I believe in a Christian set of principles based on my faith. That post, as I stated in the questionnaire to this committee, was to defend my alma mater, Wheaton College, a Christian school that has a statement of faith that includes the centrality of Jesus Christ for salvation. And
again, I apologize. I do. Forgive me. We just don't have a lot of time. Do you believe that people in the Muslim religion stand condemned? Is that your view?
Again, Senator, I'm a Christian, and I wrote that piece.
Well, what does that say?
With the statement of faith of Wheaton
College. I understand that. I don't know how many Muslims there are in America. I really don't know. Probably a couple of million. Are you suggesting that all of those people stand condemned? What about Jews? They stand condemned too?
Senator, I'm a Christian.
I understand you are a Christian, but this country is made up of people who are not just. I understand that Christianity is the majority religion, but there are other people who have different religions in this country and around the world. In your judgment, do you think that people who are not Christians are going to be condemned?
Thank you for probing on that question. As a Christian, I believe that all individuals are made in the image of God and are worthy of dignity and respect regardless of their religious beliefs. I believe that as a Christian, that's how I should treat all individuals.
And do you think your statement that you put into that publication, they do not know God because they've rejected Jesus Christ the Son and they stand condemned, do you think that's respectful of other religions?
Senator, I wrote a post based on being a Christian and attending a Christian school that has a statement of faith that speaks clearly with regard to the centrality of Jesus Christ in salvation.
I would simply say, Mr. Chairman, that this nominee is really not someone who is what this country is supposed to be about. I will vote no.
I will vote no.
Because?
Because he's a Christian and holds to Christian teaching.
Yes.
Well, I you know, Bernie, Senator Sanders, with all due respect, if there was a Muslim before this committee, would you grill a Muslim about his or her views about Muhammad?
No.
Would you do that? Would you say, are all people who refuse to accept the prophet Muhammad as being God's prophet, are they infidels?
Oh, yes. I remember when this happened. I talked about this extensively on my program. I would go down the line. Senator Sanders, would you ask a person who happened to be a Catholic on this in this committee whether or not they viewed embracing Catholicism as the exclusive right to eternal salvation, would you include that in your questioning of a person submitting themselves for the position of being appointed to the Office of Management and Budget? Right. I would have also asked him, Senator Sanders, are you familiar with the Constitution's prohibition on religious tests for elected office? I mean, for public office. You know, he only did that because Russell Vogt was a Christian. There's right. no other religion that he would have engaged in a soteriological, theological query but for Christians. And and I watched the entire hearing. The only basis of his objection was because of Russell Vogt's theological position.
All right, let me ask you this, Abe. Why do people that are socialist and, quote, progressives, I often call them secular progressives. There are some, I guess, would describe themselves as religious progressives for the most part. progressivism is based in on humanism, which is the idea that man is God. So, but why is this so close to? Why is Bernie Sanders, who's a socialist, expressing such hostility toward Christianity? What's his beef? Bottom line.
I mean, far be it for me to speak for Bernie Sanders, but it seems like he's attempting.
I'm talking about speaking more broadly for a socialist Marxist worldview.
Yeah, I think ultimately when you trace the Marxist worldview, you have to go back to Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, and the Christian worldview, biblical Christianity, includes within it a keen awareness of the inherent sinful condition of mankind. Because of man's inherent sinfulness, as articulated in Scripture and as inherent to the biblical worldview, there is an impossibility for men on their own to establish, and if you want to call it, a utilitarian utopian ideal. So in order to embrace a worldview that says all we need is government, all we need is government that's populated by men, we're not a nation of laws, we're a nation of men, all that's needed to make the world a utopia is to give government all the power and cede to a few elect central managers the full authority to run all things concerning life. Mm-hmm. Whereas the biblical worldview says, no, man is inherently wicked. You know, and as the maxim goes, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. The more power you give to the state, the more power you give to government, the more misery you will create. Mm-hmm. So the reality is a Christian worldview and a Marxist worldview are binary polar opposites, because in order to embrace the tenets of Marxism, you have to deny the sinfulness and the depravity of the human condition.
It's also a way to get rid of your enemies without conscience.
Yes.
Okay. Thus we see what's happened around the world with Marxism, communism, Mao, Stalin, for example.
There's no such thing as reasonable dissent. Either submission
or execution.
Annihilation.
Annihilation, execution, or maybe life in Siberia.
Yeah.
Right. You know, in a gulag. That's if you can live. But these people who subscribe to this, there's no God to answer to. So if killing and murder is not wrong, right? If it means it helps their ends, which is to subjugate
everybody
and them to be kings. Go ahead, Fred.
One of the scariest parts of this exchange that occurred, I think it was 2017, is that Bernie Sanders felt comfortable enough making these remarks and attacking this Christian in public, in a public forum. And I think one of the reasons he felt comfortable doing that, he knew he wasn't going to be condemned by the mainstream media. He knew that the mainstream media probably shook their head and said, Bernie, you're right.
So did his Democrat colleagues.
And so did his Democrat colleagues. That's what's scary.
Right, right.
He knew that for the most part, his political allies, the mainstream media, were not going to say anything.
And the Senate didn't do anything
disciplinary-wise
for Bernie
Good
Sanders
point.
Either.
Good
you know,
point.
Which was a Republican majority
yes.
Senate. So his Democrat colleagues would go along with him, and he would face no consequences within the Senate, which to anybody who can read the English language, you see that as a clear violation of the constitutional prohibition of an application of religious tests.
Yeah.
Well, there should have been somebody on that committee that should have immediately spoken up and said, Senator, I don't see how this line of question is relevant to the position that candidate vote has been nominated for.
Well, and how far do you have to jump from what we heard Bernie Sanders say to a Senate completely controlled by Democrats saying basically no Christians allowed? And let me just add one other thing to what you're saying about the nature of socialism and human nature and all that being tied in. This is exactly why our founders, who were either all Christian or understood the Christian influence at the founding of our country, so not all of them necessarily were Bible-believing evangelicals, but they understood what you just said about human nature, which is why the founders separated powers and why progressives slash regressives, which is what you call them, Abe, always want to concentrate power.
That's right.
That's the difference. This is the difference between the American Revolution and the French Revolution.
Yes.
And what progressives slash regressives have done is, without everyone voting on it or deciding on it, they swapped revolutions.
Yes.
We are living under the principles. This is where they want to direct us. The principles of the French Revolution, which was to concentrate power, not separate it,
yes.
Which is why progressives are always wanting all the power in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Less power in the state and local level. We want to control everything from Washington. That's how we wound up with the Department of Education.
Yes.
For decades and centuries, it was done on a local level. Then it went to state, and then they have a Department of Education, which in many ways calls the shots under the Obama administration, even telling you as a school how you're going to run bathrooms.
Right.
I mean, right. We're talking about concentration of power because Marxists, which in my opinion underlies the progressive movement, Marxists—
And the modern-day Democratic Party.
And the modern-day Democratic Party are all about concentrating power. And when they get the chance, like we just heard, they'll get rid of the dissenters.
Yes.
Right.
And that's not a leap nor an assumption. If you study the advancement of Marxism all around the world, when Marxists have seized power— one of the first things that they've done is eliminate dissent. That's why in Pyongyang right now, you have citizens in North Korea who have no idea that Americans are not walking around every single day thinking about Kim Jong-il or Kim Jong-un.
Right.
Because they have no dissenting voices there.
Let's talk about these Supreme Court cases that we mentioned at the top of the hour. We want to get your thoughts on those. Tell us about those, Abe.
Well, one major one which is encouraging is the Our Lady of Guadalupe versus Morrissey and Bureau cases, which is a case where two different individuals with different cases, they both were appealed from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, where two individuals sued religious schools for employment discrimination. And in a 7-2 decision, the only two dissenters there were Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Darth Bader again, and...
Darth Vader.
Sonia Sotomayor. And one telling phrase I want to pull out from that Our Lady of Guadalupe case, which I think is encouraging. Justice Alito wrote the majority opinion. He said this, quote, "The independence of religious institutions in matters of faith and doctrine is closely linked to independence in what the court has termed matters of church government. For this reason, courts are bound to stay out of employment disputes involving those holding certain important positions with churches and other religious institutions," end quote, which is encouraging. But at the same time, Justice Alito noted that it is certain important positions with churches and religious institutions. And one of the things that I'm gravely concerned about in our country is that we're witnessing a contraction of the applicability of the First Amendment, to where we're no longer having our government protect the free exercise of religion in every sphere of our society and in the public square. We're now having somewhat a contraction to a protection of the freedom of worship, which if you are employed at a church or religious institution, you will have greater protections of your First Amendment freedoms as opposed to all citizens, like we just witnessed in the Michigan funeral home case about a couple weeks ago. Having said that, this case does appear to be a limitation on the Bostic opinion that was provided a couple weeks ago, but it still remains to be seen how expansive that limitation would be. If a couple facts were different, this decision could have ended up.
So this decision, I want to make sure.
What's the name of this decision?
Our Lady of Guadalupe School versus.
I just wanted to hear you say Guadalupe.
Guadalupe. Guadalupe, cantaloupe, and Guadalupe.
His wife is Puerto Rican.
Yeah,
he can sling Spanish. Okay. I'm pretty sure. You're not going to stump him.
But this is a good
try.
It's
encouraging.
It's good that our side won this one, right? The freedom
yes.
of religion won this one.
Okay,
yes.
But let me ask you about this ruling. Now, my understanding is this ruling only applies to those who actually teach religion.
Yes.
And that was part of the big argument. Is that actually a clergy member? It doesn't have to be a professional member of the clergy. If you teach religion in a school, you can be held to the church's standards. but it does not apply necessarily to the English teacher or the football coach.
Ding, 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 ding. You're the winner. And the reason, that's why I said, I highlighted the fact that Justice Alito said certain religious positions. The Ninth Circuit used the Hosanna Tabor Evangelical Lutheran School case as if it was a rigid test to be applied in determining whether or not religious school employees would be protected. And they concluded no, because the people in this particular case were not official clergy. Well, in this case, Justice Alito and the six other justices who joined him in the majority opinion said that their instruction is clearly central to the school's religious purposes, and these were religion teachers. And so for a court to weigh in, you're getting too close to affecting church doctrinal matters. But it's like you said, there still remains a question as whether or not this would apply to someone who could be construed as, although working at a religious school, their purpose and function and employment is exclusively secular.
There's one aspect of this that I'm not sure I understand what differences makes or how, or, and that is this. A lot of states, you can terminate somebody and you don't have to give a reason. I don't know. Do you know how many states do that, or what percentage of states?
I don't know the number of states, but you have at-will employment states. And I think these particular states were not at-will employment states.
Okay. I know in Mississippi, for example, where we reside, if you have to let somebody go from their job, you don't have to tell them. You don't have to give a reason.
Yeah.
So the employer doesn't. So we've had to we've had to let people go because we found out they were having an adultery. But we didn't say, well, they knew that. But what I'm saying, I guess what I'm saying to you, they knew that they were that it was inconsistent to work for a ministry while you're cheating on your wife. Okay, it's not funny. I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm just saying that. So do you have to, does a religious organization have to defend itself on that matter? In a court?
It depends on which state you're in. I mean, where's, you know, a religious organization that has a statement of faith and they make adherence to their statement of faith a part of their employment responsibilities. Once you have violated that statement of faith, you have violated your employment responsibilities.
So as an attorney, I know you serve as our attorney here at AFA. What would you advise groups out there, churches even, to do tighten up their employment regulations?
Yeah, I would recommend that religious organizations make their religious functions explicit, and especially religious schools to make sure that it's communicated that every discipline that is being instructed is a part of the cultivation and formulation of a Christian worldview within the context of a Christian ethos. I would cite specific scripture that encourages disciples of Christ to add to their faith knowledge so that it is explicitly understood from a positional standpoint that all academic instruction is a part of Christian formation, and as well as for employment agreements or contractual standpoint that you are functioning in a religious ministerial capacity, and make that explicitly known to everybody involved so that it wouldn't be a surprise to anyone involved to know that everything you're doing in your employment here is a part of religious
even if you're a secretary, a janitor, football coach,
absolutely
who's not
right.
doing any actual teaching.
Absolutely right. And you may want to go to 1 Corinthians 12 to talk about they're one body, but they're many members. Mm-hmm. Each member is functioning as a part of the whole as a body. Mm-hmm. And this is a part of the cultivation and formulation of a biblical worldview in Christian ministry through this educational instructional system.
All right. Thank you, Abe. Appreciate it, brother.
You're welcome.
Looking forward
give
to
give another pat on the back.
Looking forward to the Hamilton corner.
This, you're going to break social distancing.
Can I make him sneeze?
Yeah.
Hey. Please don't. It's loud.
I'm working on that book.
Your sneeze.
Controlling Your Sneeze by Tim Wildman.
Another life hacks.
New York Times bestseller. Huh? All right. We shall return momentarily. I mean after the news with more of today's issues. Thank you, Fred.
You are welcome.
Thank you, Abe.
You're welcome, Ari. I love it.
Steve Jordahl will join us. We'll be back in a few minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.